Hello and welcome to this edition of the Soccer Specific Podcast, a Sounders Radio Hour. My name is Sam Hardy. I'm your host, along with Ben Johnson, Will Pearson, Will Boyce. We're back. Merry Xmas. Happy NY. Yeah, it's going to be a great podcast. We are in the middle of, it's kind of the most barren part of the MLS offseason, in my opinion. We're kind of in the middle of a gap between the super exciting, like, re-entry drafts, as I call them, like the digestion system of the league, where you kind of just can, like, take all of the kind of excrement and just push it out of the league, but then also retain the rights to said crap, like, the whole time.
Hey, that's my turd over there.
And this, that's right. And the super draft. You mean Lamar Nagel?
Coming in hot.
So just lots of player turnover, but also just like complete silence because teams are kind of trying to circle around what they want. I think Minnesota United has like 15 players under contract.
Pretty
so
good.
There's like not a lot of people.
It's not bad.
Yeah, is that good?
That's more like, than they had this time last year, I'd say.
That's like, yeah, almost a full squad.
Yeah, that's true. And the San Jose Earthquakes also similarly depleted. But we're not here to talk about them. We're here to talk about the Sounders. So I know you guys kind of met up last week and talked about, in or out on a lot of different players.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll kind of kick things off with my own impression since you obviously did not cover them since I was not part of that conversation.
Yes.
I think overall, I think we're in okay shape. I mean, you can't really criticize the team too much since you just look at the Aptura part of the league. Last year, we were number one in league history, right?
All time.
I don't know how much of that just had to do with strength of schedule, but certainly some of that had to do with the addition of Raul Ruiz Diaz and, you know, shoring up some of our loose ends. In the wing back area and just people getting healthy at the same time. And then focusing coming out of the World Cup. So can't be too disappointed in how things are going. But I do think there are some areas where the team could kind of shore things up. So I think some of my work is done here because the team's already kind of indicated which direction they're going. But I think Poopy Pants, Alfaro, it looks like he's gone as of today, going to Chivas. But I think he certainly could be exited. And then it even looks like our boy Brad Smith. He may be just gone because of his injury, right?
Really?
I mean,
what's the word on that?
I mean, he's alone and. Isn't it kind of like up to the alone. Sounders on what they want to do?
He's alone and scared. Brad. He's all alone.
Right. And Bournemouth probably want him back, right?
I guess so.
Because they're sure. Down a player. I have no idea. I mean, anyway, he's okay, but like also don't love his injury availability.
And we also just traded with Chicago to pick up a fourth left back.
Oh yeah, that seems kind of weird.
I thought he was
weird,
more of a center back, though.
I thought he was.
I think he's center
Look,
back.
I read
depth.
Chicago Fire and trade, and I was like, eh, whatever.
Okay, we can agree on this, though. Will, the team certainly needs to get a little bit deeper at center back. With Chad Marshall going down, and it just kind of looks like, I think Chad Marshall's officially in like Ozzie Alonso territory. And that you kind of have to have
it's
a great
in
pairing option.
Give him like 12 cortisone shots every half, and you know he'll get a reckless yellow card. He'll be fine.
I'm just saying you can't like if the Sounders were to like miss Chad Marshall for 6 months of next season, we kind of have to blame Garth because
we saw it coming.
He is what he is at this point, right? Yeah, exactly. Like, there's no excuses for that.
There's never a good time for someone to get injured, but if it's going to happen right before the off season, that at least gives us a little bit more time to proactively adjust for the future. So, I mean, you have to think that that's a major priority.
I mean, and I would honestly put like Kim Keehee as a top five Garth acquisition ever.
Yeah.
They were able to get somebody who's pretty solid, and young, and has kind of national team aspirations, and also is kind of a value player. So I'm pretty happy with that addition. So in on Mr. Keehee. I'm actually out on Ozzy though, moving to the midfield. I mean, I'm in on keeping him for a lower number, but you know, he's a free agent. And it's going to get awkward because it's going to be kind of like what happened last year where the team left him for LAFC. LAFC didn't want him, but Ozzy took to the Twitters and the Instagrams and promptly lit the Sounders on fire. I also feel like there's kind of this thing where the national media are a little bit like less colluded on the state of Ozzy Alonso. Am I alone on that? I feel like they kind of look at him as like the Ozzy of 2 years ago, and the people who watch the Sounders every week kind of see a little bit more of a limited Ozzy. Am I wrong on that?
I also don't think that the national media, so to speak, is at fault for that, because they're looking at like all the players in the league per se, and while they might throw out a line about how he's battling injuries and has slowed down a bit, there's still obvious, you know, like they can talk about how his strengths remain, as opposed to going out and just dissecting him as a solo person.
Well, and he's such a gamer too, that on those national TV games, he shows up and plays really well, right? Cause he's a real competitive dude. And so if you just see that version of him in the playoffs or on the ESPN games, then you would think he's still at 100%. Like, what's his name?
Yeah.
Warshaw at MLS had him in the top five.
Warshaw!
Yeah, Warshaw.
Front of the line.
Warshaw! Top five midfielders in MLS this last year, which, if it was for one game, maybe I agree, but overall, for the whole season, I think it's harder to make that
argument. That's
for him at this point.
Terrible pick.
Yeah. And just to go back to my earlier point, like it's a question of like, Garth, can you plan on this player like playing every game?
Right.
The answer is obviously no.
Right.
And so you're going to need like a starting level backup essentially. And the hope is that it's somebody that's kind of similar to Roldan. Like they're kind of coming into their own. I mean, I suppose if you look at Roldan as like a deep lying center midfielder, you can kind of just put Svensson and he in those two slots if you're going with a 4-2-3-1.
Right.
So yeah. Anyway, so I guess my main thing is like, I don't know if Ozzy is somebody that you can really plan on. And I don't know if he's somebody you could kind of throw, you know, a lot of money at, given what the expected return is. So it's not, again, it's not like I don't like Ozzy Alonso. I just don't know if he's kind of a pillar that you can kind of put the whole team, or build the whole team around. So it's too bad Miami aren't like joining the league this year, because I think that would be a nice natural.
That would be sweet.
It sounds like one of you guys is talking about Orlando City as a potential destination for.
I mean,
Mr.
Orlando's
got
to be pretty desperate just to get bodies on the field, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know.
Okay. Yeah. So moving on from Ozzy, a little bit of news. I'll just kind of tackle both of these things at the same time. So, I think Garth Lagerwey has officially kind of tied his, his administration to the success of Jordan Morris and Christian Roldan, both of them signing to, I think, 5-year deals at pretty high numbers. Roldan's at, I think, $4 million over 5 years, which says a lot. That's a big number for an American player. in a league where a lot of times players kind of coming into their own as American players kind of were limited in the amount of money that they would get because the league kind of wanted to spend its money on foreign acquisitions. And then I can't remember what the specific number was on Jordan Morris, but it was similarly aggressive. So my first question is, like, going to Jordan Morris, do you think, do you guys think that Garth was right to kind of put a lot of money behind somebody who is literally hasn't played a game, since the first game of last season in the Champions League?
It's a tough one.
And a player that is, like, really defined by his speed, right? And some of these players lose a little bit of speed and motility, I guess, when they lose their ACL. Right. And that's kind of what happens.
I mean, maybe he's spent the offseason working on some other parts of his game, and maybe there's a real coherent vision for where he's going to play. But at the moment, it seems like the spot he'd go is on the wing, since Rui Diaz is forward, and if they stick with the 4-2-3-1, like Schmetzer seems to always roll with, right? Then I think you're right, the speed might be tricky. I think the contract is a little backloaded, and so it sounds scary-ish at first, but it's an interesting model, I think, to show both Roldan and Jordan Morris are sort of homegrown kind of players, and the Sounders are setting the precedent that you can get your paper, get your money, staying in MLS, which I think is different than a lot of people's goals for the league, which is a place to play for young players for a bit, and then they go to Europe or wherever, and then maybe come back later. So we'll see. Overall, I mean, it seems positive to me just because I like those two guys, and I think Morris will come back and be okay, but It's a different kind of signal than I think a lot of people project for most of the league. Different than, like, Atlanta United or some of these other, like, the newer clubs, I think. Different style.
So here's a question for you guys. You know, throwing aside whether or not we're paying him too much or too little or anything at all, Where do you see Morris in the lineup? You know, do you see him starting? Like, is he a starter right out the gate? Do you think we'll see him more as a sub capacity for the first, you know, third of the season? And if he is starting, who's he replacing in the lineup?
I mean, I think the number that he's at indicates he's a starter. It'd be weird if you'd spend that kind of money on somebody that's, like, coming off the bench. Unless Garth has some understanding of, like, a new financial landscape that, like, maybe in a few years, the number that Jordan's at, you could, that's, like, a realistic number for 12th or 13th man. But I definitely see Morris as, like, I don't know if it's a four, you know, a two-man top, you know, top line with Rui Diaz, but certainly, you know, playing off of him on some level.
Yeah, I'd like the two forward aspect, because I think Morris with some speed could do runs over the top, and Rui Diaz is pretty good at checking back to get the ball and be involved that way. So I think they should roll it out as sort of a, I don't know, 4-1-3-2 kind of a thing. But I think what will happen is he'll play on the wing and he'll play where Harry Ship was playing. I think that's what's going to happen, but I don't think that's what.
But at the end of the season, wasn't Ship starting for Rodriguez? Or sitting?
No, Rodriguez was hurt. I think, didn't they start together when they were? Were they ever both healthy at the same time?
I don't think they ever started together. Because Roldan was out on the Roldan was out on right wing,
yeah.
And so it was just sort of like lulls, find a left winger, because you were still rolling out like bucket of body parts, Ozzy and Svensson in defense, and then Lodero is your attacking mid.
Yeah, but Lodero's on the left and would come inside, and then you'd have Nuhu overlap to do width on the left. So that there wasn't really a winger on the left. I don't think that was the plan. It was sort of crowded in the middle and open up space on the left side for the left back to go up. I think that's what happened.
Disagree, because my memory remembers.
Get out of here.
Oh, God. Yeah. So anyway, it seems like we'll have Morris at least available for the start of the season and training camp, right? He was kind of taking part in some practices, small-sided Gibbs during the playoffs. So he should be relatively available. But kind of just looking at the team at large, it looks like, maybe some depth in the back line a bit, especially since Brad Smith doesn't look like a for sure thing at this point. You know, whether it's from his injury availability or even his just contract status with Bournemouth. Looks like they'll have like Sam Rogers coming out of the S2 team. Although I watched a little bit of his performance for the U20s in the, I think it was in the U20 CONCACAF tournament. And he looked a little shaky at that level. He started one game and then the coach benched him. And he only kind of saw limited minutes after that. Which is tough at the U20 level. You want to be kicking a little bit of butt at that level if you're going to make a move into the first team for club. So my guess is he's probably not going to be a DeAndre Yedlin type in his first year with the club. I'm guessing it'll be more Open Cup and USL for him again. But to be fair, he had such kind of national team responsibility and some injury troubles last year that he really didn't play a lot with S2. Will, you may have gone to one of his only games for S2 last year. He only played.
I believe that he was an entertaining player. I don't remember anything.
Okay. You don't remember? That's right.
Look, I went to their home opener, and it was fantastic, and it was a lot of fun, but I had no clue who any of those people were. And I was there more for the experience and the support of my local team. I don't know. I would have liked to have made it to more games. And that's actually a goal of mine for this next year. Just because they're here and they're fun and it is exciting to go watch those dudes. That said, there also is a pretty significant drop off from watching the Sounders play to going to a minor league baseball stadium and watching, the Sounders 2 play. It's fun. It's just different. And the quality on the field is a little bit more raw, as it should be.
We can talk a little bit about that. I mean, Garth, it's seeing that the U16 and U17 teams did pretty well. That age group did well for the Sounders last year. Did really well, actually. While Garth was in the middle of his campaign to stay on in this democracy of sport that the Sounders have with the election, he was kind of the hype man for that academy. And he was like, he basically declared it a victory for the academy system, that his job was done here for setting that pipeline up, and that the team had moved on to phase two of kind of rebuilding the franchise. And so his phase two is, okay, now we focus on the USL team, to which I said, we weren't doing, what were we doing before in the first three, 4 years of your tenure? And so it seems like this year they're really focusing on bringing in young guys versus kind of journeymen. So it looks like S2 this next year is going to be pretty much all like 17, 18 year olds, which may lead to a lot of losses. But the hope is that they're going to kind of bring in a big batch of young players.
And that was the whole point when we picked Garth up as a GM, right? People said he's so great because he can do development, he can build the academy, he can, you know, create that pipeline. That was his legacy from Salt Lake, right?
That was the word.
Yeah, I mean, I think Garth kind of took credit for everything that happened in Salt Lake.
Except for so, Beckerman's dreadlocks.
Yeah.
They're gone now.
Yeah.
And so is Garth.
Phase three. Oh.
Phase three. Yeah. So we'll see about that. I mean, we'll see how S2 does. Will, what are you looking for from S2? Like, what does success look like in 2019 for S2? I mean, can you measure it on the scoreboard? Is it going to be more intangible?
S2 in 2019 will be defined by the number of players throughout the season and at the end of the season that move up to first team contracts.
With the Sounders only?
Not necessarily. I mean, I would love to see them stay with the Sounders, with the organization, but I think that, like, the only metric by which you can, you know, evaluate the S2 as a organization is how many of those players are moving forward with their careers.
Okay.
Like, it's not about their record in the league. I, you know, sure, they could lose every game, you know, 4-1, you know, 3-0,
yeah,
and just absolutely get shelled. But if they're learning lessons and skills in the process that they can then apply to moving forward, like, that's what I care about.
Learning lessons.
I wish there was some sort of ESPN ticker or advanced metrics page for all of the lessons learned, expected lessons learned per game. Maybe
yeah,
a lesson
like
heat map or something,
index,
so we could kind of
it's, you
check
know,
in
the,
on the team.
The Kia Players Index, because they're cheaper.
Oh my gosh! It looks like 122 points to Sam Rogers for receiving a healthy stern talk at halftime. So yeah. So that's S2, which is, I think we just covered S2 longer than we did the entirety of
phase
last two. Season, which is good. So phase two. Now this year we're going to focus on the USL. Okay, so that's USL and S2. And I guess next we can kind of cover around
what's
the league stuff.
What's on your mind,
Sam? Right? Anything you want to talk about? Well, Breck Shea was just picked up by Atlanta United, which was kind of what everyone needed at the end of 2018, honestly. After hearing, Atlanta United fans talking about how they were just going to, move on into global icon status as a club, they replaced Miguel Almirón with Mr. Breck Shea. And, it was so funny because I was out yesterday, driving, and I came back, 5 hours after the news dropped. And if you, read the comments kind of chronologically, it went from, WTF, mate, by Atlanta United fans, to 5 hours later, they were, they had already watched, old U.S. men's national team highlights and had talked themselves successfully into Breck Shea. And they were his contract's decent and he's actually pretty big. He's him and Cristiano Ronaldo are actually the same size and built kind of similarly. We could use him on the wing or in the back. It's guys, Breck Shea. I don't know what more do you need to see?
We know.
Jury is way in on this guy. We know what Breck Shea is. He is who we thought he was.
what if this is the first
so that
thing
was kind
that,
of funny.
That marks Atlanta and then, United's downfall back to reality
yes.
in MLS. They had these great couple years.
Yes.
And then they get a little cocky.
Yes.
They sign Breck Shea and then the wheels just come off. Martina, Yosef leaves, Gressel leaves, Brad Friedel, what's his name? No, the goalie. Guzan just gets angrier and angrier. This could be the beginning of the end for them.
Mm-hmm. I love that. I love that so much. I am totally in on that. Plus, like, I think it was Home Depot had like its worst financial year of all time. It was down 10% the stock. So you know, Arthur Blank, but, perhaps he's not, got
more like that Lowe's money,
bucks.
Not that Home Depot money.
got that Lowe's money, fam. So hot stove. There's been kind of this like banter about that Boca Juniors are coming hard after, and other clubs, Cruz Azul, are coming hard after Lodiero, which would be kind of interesting. I mean, I don't think there would be a quicker way to kind of trip up the Sounders in the off season. But it looks like he doesn't have a release clause, so it's pretty unlikely that they would
be really
let him
surprised
go, right?
if he went, because I think it was yesterday, Orlando City finalized a transfer to Cruz Azul, midfielder Yoshi Yatun. So I would be surprised if Cruz Azul completely remade their midfield roster in the offseason with designated players from MLS. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but I feel like that might be the classic case of, you know, you cast your net wide and you get a bunch of rumors going and see if you can negotiate down, just of, you know, like we've done it plenty of times before. And I don't think he's going anywhere.
Agreed.
Okay.
I agree. What about, speaking of Boca Juniors, right? LA Galaxy hired a new manager, Guillermo. What's the B stand for? Barros Skeloto. So they did. They seem to do a good thing, right? I know. People were saying
MLS,
so. Atlanta
MLS
got
legend.
A new manager too, because Tata is bye bye. And LA got a new manager and kind of splashed a little cash to get him, right? It seems like that's a good move for them, don't you guys think? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah, I think so. It's a good move. I'm like a little jury's out on LA. I think Chris Klein's like pretty verifiably like trash as a executive, but they brought in a new GM. They have a new coach. I mean, Will Parchman's talked about this a little bit, of just like how bad you have to be as an organization not to capture like the number one hotbed of like young soccer talent in the country by far. I mean, you could do a men's national team just on Californian players, like, you know, like that's how much more soccer talent there is in Southern California than everywhere else in the country. So it looks like their GM's already like making ovations to like young players in the market, and making sure that the kind of the people that they've kind of talked to and brought in aren't going to leave. Cause that's kind of been a little bit of a storyline this last year, which is kind of, prospects falling through MLS Academy fingertips, and just leaving without any sort of compensation. And if Garber is going to kind of be a part of like MLS 3.0, it's really going to have to be about capturing the young talent and then like monetizing it, and just really setting up a selling league kind of mentality where you're bringing in talent and you're selling it to like Europe and you're profiting off of it, because if you don't do that, like, there's really, it's going to be hard to get anybody to come to your club if you're like a 15-year-old or a 16-year-old want to play. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But good. I think you could say, like it. They, Ben, that it's good signs coming out of LA right now.
The weird coaching changes they made this year and, you know, bringing in Zlatan but not making the playoffs seemed like they were in need of, at least someone with a big name who could, you're right, attract some of those people to stay around. So we'll see. I'm sure they'll be back in the playoffs next year, partly because they added more teams to the playoffs, right? So if they finish right. seventh again next year, they'll make the playoffs. So it seems doable.
May the odds be in your favor.
All right, well. Well, I don't really want to talk about Jonathan Campbell too much.
What's
the Chicago Fire. Cool. Let's end it on a bit of a dour note then. The other day, it came out that Mr. Siggy Schmid, former coach of the Sounders, passed away at the young age of 65. It's kind of a bummer. I don't really know how to position it any other way. A lot of good memories coming out of his tenure with the team. I think we talked a fair amount of trash about Mr. Schmid on the podcast, but overall, like, they could have not launched in a better way and with a more steady hand than with Siggy Schmid. Do you guys have any specific memories that come to mind when you think about Siggy's life with the Sounders?
I think that, you know, no matter how the fans felt about him towards the end of his tenure with us, I think that, you know, like you said, Sam, you absolutely cannot understate what an important player or important person he was for the organization. And not only for the organization, but for U.S. soccer as a whole. And how fortunate we were to have mm-hmm. him here when he was around. You know, I think it was very obvious how much he cared about the organization and how hard it was for him to leave on the terms that he did without achieving that goal of getting us a cup. So, you know, I appreciate everything he did for us. And I certainly hope that the Sounders organization is able to do something for him.
Yeah, I agree with all that, Will. And I'll just echo that he seemed just like a really genuine, caring person. I always liked that he wore a fan's scarf before every game. He always would come out with a scarf tied real tight around his neck.
Slightly askew way, which is kind of funny.
Piece that he would do and would grab a scarf from a fan and wear it for the game. And just seemed like a really, really good dude, cared a lot about the game and about players, and tons of respect for him. And it's sad. Pretty shocking to hear that news. You know, we had heard that he was having some health problems, but didn't know it was so serious. So just lots of good thoughts out towards his family. And we'll miss the guy. It's a sad thing to end 2018 with.
Totally. Yeah, our thoughts out to, I think it's Kurt Schmid is his son, right? Who's with the LA Galaxy as part of their player personnel and scouting staff. It's a bummer. One of my favorite memories of Siggy Schmid was, it's not too specific of a memory, but it's kind of the face that he presented to the public in his initial years with the club. It was kind of this like, you know, we went out there, we didn't get the win and blah, 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 right? And then I think it was around when the Sounders documentary came out.
we kind of got a little bit more of a sense of like who he was behind the scenes and on the sidelines. And he is actually like a super fiery coach in the sidelines and with his players. And it was just so funny. I just remember being like, oh, like who's that? Like, it's a totally different coach than I kind of remembered and knew about. To the point where he's just like shouting and screaming. And we've kind of like, we've had it in the beginning of our kind of audio of this podcast before. but just him screaming at Dylan Remick, like, Remick's there, come on, guys. It's like absolutely like screaming and trashing on his players. So pretty funny. Yeah. So anyway, a little bit more fiery of a personality than we initially thought. So yeah, I guess that'll kind of wrap her on up. We have a lot more to come in this off season. This is kind of the quiet period, but coming up, we got Super Draft, which is not that important anymore, I think, right? Like every year, it seems like it's a little bit more of a footnote.
Super. Great.
Yeah.
There's also the Fantastic Draft that's going to happen.
I guess it.
Oh, there's the Fantastic Draft. There's the really awesome draft.
The greatest draft.
The make drafts great again draft.
Okay.
Okay. Oh man. Okay. Yeah, so my guess is the next time we pod, we'll probably know about like two minor player sightings for the Sounders, one of which, this is kind of when we found out about, I can't even remember his name.
Right.
The Wolf Ikram. Some random Scandinavian player. There's a rumor about, I think, another Peruvian. I think he's a wing back.
Nice.
So that's been kind of a rumor so far.
Great.
So we'll see. We'll see more about the hot stove in a couple weeks.
Hey, no problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for joining me, you guys.
Pleasure.
Will, do you have a hot take for us to close out?
Do I? Hot take. Sam, I think your boy Tommy Thompson. I think this is his breakout year. I'm looking for him to start.
You son of a bitch. Breakout.
I was really hoping this was the off season where he got like let go by the Earthquakes and he would join the Sounders on some sort of minor contract.
Yeah, like did they draw his contract up and sign it in blood or something? Because there seems to be an incredibly strong reason for him, one, not playing, and two, not going anywhere. And it makes you sad, and that makes me sad.
I feel like he does more with, like, charity events and, like, halftime juggling and that kind of thing. I mean, no like, one else has that
synergy kind of and that connection with the Frisbee Dog.
Yeah.
It's just such a bummer. It just makes me sad. But don't worry, Andrew Carlton will fulfill all of the fallen Tommy Thompson dreams. If we could get Tommy Thompson to stop taking cold medicine the day before MLS Cup. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, this has been Sounders Radio Hour. I'm your host, Sam Hardy, Will Pearson, Ben Johnson, signing off.
Oh.